Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the magical beard of fantasy himself.
Right.
One hell of a rocker.
Oh, hey.
That's right. We got Matt Franciscovich in the building. What's up?
What up, man? Got the beard trimmed yesterday.
Okay.
Had a lovely weekend, starting with the K-Town Throwdown Friday night.
Yeah, buddy. We got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What's up?
I think I'm still recovering from all the Korean barbecue I ate and beers I drank on Friday.
Yeah.
You were epic on Friday.
Man, I know how to drink beer and I know how to eat meats. What can I tell you?
It's true.
Good God. You ate your entire weight, your entire body weight.
No, I paid for it this weekend.
Oh, my God.
He's in the best shape
Lord.
Of his life.
No, well, I mean, I had to go on a couple runs to try and sweat out all of the meats, and I still don't think they've all made it out of my system. So.
Oh, my goodness. We got MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's going on?
Man, we are for real into fantasy season now. We got, like, you have, like, fake NFL games being played.
Fake news?
I mean, sorry, exhibition?
Oh, okay.
Preseason?
What
are we calling these?
Preseason games?
You know, I sat in a stadium and I watched Kellen Moore throw worm burners.
Oh, you went to the game?
I did.
Sad.
We've got the fantasy maverick himself, one half of the danger zone. We're talking about Adam Rank. What's going on, man?
Oh, what a great weekend. It was in a lot of different levels. Unfortunately, I missed the K-Town Throwdown. I didn't know there was Korean barbecue.
You didn't know that there was going to be Korean barbecue on something entitled the K-Town Throwdown.
I know that you're going to K-Town.
Yes.
I didn't know that it included dinner. I didn't know it was dinner and a show.
It's a throwdown, bro. What do you think a throwdown includes?
Brah.
Start singing.
What's up, brah?
Start belting out the bridge to take on me.
Oh, dude, we.
And then, oh, that's one we didn't do.
We didn't do
that.
Well,
you can't do it if I'm.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
I got to be there. But yeah, I love the Korean barbecue.
What a great show we have in front of us here today. Look, I know we had teased the Sleeper Spectacular last week, but some things happened on Friday.
A few things.
Life
a few
things happened. Fast, man.
Wait, was there news on Friday?
A lot of things happened. On Friday, we're going to be talking about Ezekiel Elliott. We're going to be talking about Sammy Watkins, talk about the fantasy fallout there. We will let in. For the very first time, the Listener League entrance into the OG League, into the Bearded League, and into the Danger Zone League as well. We're going to close out with a round of daily daps, but we shall start your show with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
All right, we'll start with Ezekiel Elliott. Suspended 6 games for violation of the league's personal conduct policy. It is anticipated that he will appeal the decision. I would imagine he's going to appeal. We'll hear about that in the next coming days here. And then, again, the league will have to then, you know, hear the appeal. If they can provide some new information, I don't know, maybe that 6-game suspension gets knocked down. But as we stand today, he's going to miss 6 games. But you mix in that bye week as well. He's going to be gone for 7 weeks. That is 50% of the fantasy season. We're talking about a dude in Zeke Elliott that was a consensus top 3 pick. We're seeing him go number 1 in some drafts. Franchise, I'll start with you. Now that you know that he's going to miss, or I guess we sit here today and we say, okay, this guy's going to miss 50% of the fantasy season. But when he comes back, he's an absolute game changer.
Yeah.
Where do you draft this guy?
It's a tough question, man, because a lot of people, I'm sure, had drafts this past weekend, had to make a tough decision. Maybe you're taking him in, like, the 4th, the 5th round, thinking he'll come back for you week 8. If that, like, worst-case scenario, he misses 6 games, he can come back week 8, and you can plug him in as an RB1.
All right.
If you've made it that far, basically, like, he'll be available for the fantasy playoffs if you're in him. But you're basically wasting an early draft pick to get him, and then you need to insulate your roster later with some other upside guys. But it's like, it's tough because if you just take him and he's burning a hole in your roster for 7 weeks, I don't know. It's tough.
Well, I mean, you talk about a guy you'd like to take in the 4th or 5th round.
Yeah.
But Alex Gale, he's not going to fall that far.
I saw Graham Barfield, who we had join us for one of our mocks, writes for Fantasy Guru, said he did. He got into like five MFL 10s over the weekend, and Zeke's ADP was in the second round in every one.
That's
of
right.
Them.
What? No, no, that's
Which,
right.
Which, now, granted, those are best balls, so you Different don't have to rules, worry about the yeah. waiver and stuff. But his ADP is going to go higher because people are going to be, you know, talking about that risk the whole time. But my big concern about it is that, like, yes, the argument can be made that 10 games or 8 games of Zeke or whatever are greater than, like, a lot of the guys you might pick in those earlier rounds instead of him. But what we have to remember when we're building these rosters and looking at this is that fantasy is a weekly game. It is not a season-long game.
Okay.
And if you're anticipating getting Zeke and having him go through that stretch run and carry you into the fantasy playoffs, you need to make damn sure that your team in those early weeks is going to be able to win you enough games to get to that playoff spot, because if you have him burn a hole in your roster for 7 weeks,
exactly,
and then you're sitting at, you know, 1-6 or 2-5 and are basically out of contention for the fantasy playoffs, you've blown your whole season.
All right, so I'm going to throw out a semi-hot take here.
Okay.
And I put it out online that, to me, I'm going to get aggressive. I'm going to get crazy aggressive on Zeke Elliott. I'm okay with taking him with a top 15 pick.
What?
Yeah, I know. And it sounds insane. We're talking about a guy that legitimately could miss half the fantasy football season.
Yeah.
But I think that if you're sitting there, and you got to keep in mind how we're drafting here. Now, again, this is not for auction, okay?
Yeah.
But we're talking about your typical snake draft, 12-team format, let's say. If you're sitting there with pick number 15, it's almost impossible that this dude is going to come back around back to you. So if you want to get him, I think you've got to invest a top 15 pick if you like him. If you don't like him, all right, you move on, you take somebody else. But I just think if you want to get the guy, I really honestly feel like there's not that many players after the number 15 selection that where I'm saying I got to get this guy. But Zeke Elliott is that guy. And that's why I'm saying, just because in a typical snake draft format, you're not going to see him again. You know, so it's the same idea of if you're like in a 16-team league and you're sitting there picking at number 16 and at the turn, you basically get whoever the hell you want to get, because you got to throw ADP out a little bit in these deeper formats because you're saying to yourself, well, I'm not going to get that guy. So if I like him, just go get him. So that's the argument that I would make, saying that Zeke Elliott is, at least to me anyways, worth it as a top 15 pick. Now, obviously, you got to insulate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to figure out who you want to get to insulate yourself. You know, is it going to be a Jacquizz Rodgers? Is it going to be Darren McFadden, Alfred Moore? I don't know. But you got to figure that part of it out. And obviously, that's the tough part.
What do you mean, I don't know? You should have a plan. This is your great, grandiose plan. Tell us who to pick.
I'm saying take Darren McFadden in the fifth round. So you're spending a number 15 pick on Zeke, a fifth round pick on Darren McFadden, and you're going to piece together possibly a top five player.
But I'd rather have R. Kelly than Darren McFadden.
Okay.
I think it's a waste of a pick to take McFadden because, first of all, you're going to trust that he's going to be healthy. I mean, he had a miracle run 2 years ago when he had over 1,000 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm. 1,400 total.
And was able to do it. But his history has shown that he just can't stay healthy. And I don't know that we can rule out the Cowboys from making a move. I mean, if you're the Cowboys and you see the Jets, who are presumably in some sort of tanking mode.
Okay.
And they have a veteran like Matt Forte sitting there. Like, I would personally, if you're drafting right now, I would take a speculative ad on Matt Forte just in case, because I'm just trying to identify some of the veterans out there who could be. Obviously, D'Angelo Williams took himself out of the running. But who are those older running backs who are like, oh, they're on a team that's not going to go anywhere?
You know what would be spicy? If the Tennessee Titans wanted to get crazy? Trade DeMarco Murray.
Back to Dallas.
Let's go.
Never going to happen.
The price tag for that, I mean, that would be cool, but price tag.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Way too high.
All right, give me a fair draft price in your mind, Adam Rank, for Zeke.
No, I like it. I mean, if you're sitting, the ideal situation is to be sitting at the turn, have the first overall pick, and then be sitting there and have him fall to you, which is possible, because last year with Le'Veon Bell in one of my leagues, that happened, and everybody passed on him, and nobody wanted
That's
to
what
do
I'm
it.
Saying.
And the guy who had the second overall pick, He knew right when he made his second round pick, he's like, oh, my God, you're going to do it. I go, of course I'm going to do it because I had Antonio Brown. I took Dez, and then I'm like, well, I'm going to take Le'Veon Bell.
See ya.
And you guys are going to be pissed.
But if you take Zeke at that turn there, what are you taking? It depends on what position you take with your first pick. You have to take an RB1 first.
Yeah,
you have that locked-in feature back.
Yep.
Then you're basically burning a pick on Zeke.
Yep.
Then what do you go? Wide receiver, and then like McFadden.
See,
that's right. Yes.
I would disagree. I would say if you have two wide receivers, if you've loaded up at the wide receiver position and have those guys, and then you're basically going zero RB.
Right.
And you're going to be piecing together your running backs just like a zero RB person would be doing.
And then
you get
Zeke.
You're getting
as the
Ezekiel
RB1.
Elliott
right.
in week 9.
Right.
Which is not bad.
Week 8. Week 9.
Week 8. Because he would miss 6 games,
and then there's,
and there's a bye week
there.
Mixed in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
He'd come back for week 8. But, oh, man, the debate, I think, will rage on until we get some clarity in terms of how many games he misses.
Right, exactly.
Marcus, what else do you think? You're the one who wrote our piece on this on NFL Fantasy.
I mean, if it is a situation where I have to reach for Zeke at in the top 15, do not want.
Yeah.
If I've got to reach from the top 15 and then come back around and get Darren McFadden in the fifth,
it's a hefty price tag.
I don't want any part of that, yeah. man.
McFadden's not a sure thing.
I would rather go out and try to get myself a couple of wide receivers and then load up on some zero RB type backs a little bit later on in my draft. Because if you get Ezekiel Elliott, you are going to have to add more running backs just to add depth. So in that case, why don't I just go out and get some sort of depth adding type backs and just rotate those guys through and kind of play matchups there as opposed to, it's like what Franchise said. If I'm holding a roster spot for 7 weeks, 8 weeks, I better be damn sure that I am loaded at the other positions to make sure that I'm still relevant when Zeke. If I'm 2-5 when Zeke comes back.
You're pretty much out of it.
Yeah, there's really no point to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. And, of course, that's the big gamble, right? You have to have enough faith in yourself where you're saying, look, I can draft around this guy and still be, 3-3. Right as Zeke is coming back, that you have to bet on yourself.
Yeah,
I mean again, and I know it's difficult, but I tell you what, man, I'll do it. If I'm sitting there with a number 15 pick in a snake draft, it's gonna be hard for me to pass. And this goes back to what we saw from Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
but at 15 you could get Jay Ajayi, you could get Michael Thomas, you could get maybe Jordan Howard.
I think
the Bell thing, he was coming back off such a smaller suspension, though.
It was.
Two games.
Like,
two games.
That's nothing.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And I understand why there would be a lot of cause for concern there. And I get it's a semi-hot take.
Yes. It's steamy.
But I'll tell you what. I'll gamble on myself.
See, I would feel comfortable doing it. I don't know if you should be.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if this is the right thing for you. You might want to just play it safe.
Okay.
Why don't you just you're on the tee box, take out the 5-iron, put it in the fairway.
Oh, man.
I don't want you taking out the driver.
Rude. Right,
listen,
rude.
That's not.
Is that
totally uncalled for?
Was that rude?
It won.
I didn't mean that in a bad way.
Can we stay with Dallas and talk about how this move, if he does miss 6 games or whatever it might be, how does it impact Dak and Dez? Because, again, we're talking about with Zeke in the lineup, it's going to be a run-heavy offense. Does it remain? Do we project it to be a run-heavy offense? How might this impact Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant?
I still think that we like Dez for the reasons we've always liked him, is that he's a red zone target monster.
Yeah.
He's not the guy who puts up the prolific receiving numbers.
Right. He's not
yardage-wise.
He's not a 100 catch guy.
Yardage-wise, but he still catches a lot of touchdowns. And now that Jason Witten is like 80, Dez is their number one option, at least the receiving side. And when they get there, and he always has a knack for getting open and things of that nature. The problem with so I think that Dak and Dez and all those guys will still continue to put up the production
value
that we've seen
because unchanged.
We've seen the Cowboys have success running the football with 3 different running backs over the last 3 years, DeMarco Murray, Darren McFadden, and Ezekiel Elliott. And it doesn't matter who the running back is for the Cowboys this season. That guy is going to go out there and be effective because of the offensive line. So whether it's Darren, that's the problem, though. I don't know. I don't trust any of the – I don't know that it's going to be Darren, Freddie Morris, or some rando –
some guy
that they trade.
Ronnie Hillman technically is still on the roster at the moment.
Get out of my life.
Here's my concern. Like last year, and this is courtesy of our excellent research team here. the percentage of pass plays that the Cowboys ran without Ezekiel Elliott, when he was on the field, they threw the ball 44% of the time.
That's not a lot.
When he was off the field, they threw it 64%.
Hello.
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump.
It's also a small sample size last year.
True.
You're a small sample
size. A lot of those plays, I was just looking for the same thing, Marcus, because I knew the research team put it up. I'm just going to blow past that.
But the other part of that is, and again, yes, I agree, small sample size. But you know, you look at Dak's numbers with Ezekiel Elliott, a passer rating of 112, a completion percentage of 72%. Those numbers went down without Zeke, down to 92 for the passer rating, down to 60% for the completion percentage. I mean, 60% still pretty good, but certainly not 72.
The other thing we should remember, too, Dak was a rookie last year. We've heard stories about the Cowboys not giving the entire playbook to work with.
Okay.
Everything out of Cowboys camp this offseason has been Dak is improved. They're going to give him the whole playbook. He's a leader.
Yeah.
He's going to take a jump forward.
Sounds like a Russell Wilson type thing.
That's encouraging.
Sure.
At least for Dez's outlook.
Okay. I think Dez will see more volume.
Yeah.
I mean, however slight it might be, I think he'll see a little bit more volume, and I think that can only be good things for Dez Bryant. And again, I think Rank's right. Right now, his ADP is not really moving that much, you know what I mean? So maybe he's a slight better value where you're able to get the services for Dez right this second. All right, so the other big thing that happened on Friday, I guess two of the three big things happened in Buffalo, man. We weren't even able to wrap our minds around this whole Dallas thing. And then Sammy Watkins, out of nowhere, gets traded away from the Buffalo Bills, and then he goes to the L.A. Rams.
Arden, out of nowhere.
It was absolutely.
Well, so this was – it was a three-team trade, essentially, but made through multiple deals.
Right, that's exactly right. So Buffalo, the Bills gave up Sammy Watkins. They shipped him off to L.A. in a separate deal. Then they got Jordan Matthews trading away Darby over to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia giving them a draft pick and Jordan Matthews. Let's talk about it from the fantasy perspective, and of course we'll start with Sammy Watkins. We're watching Sammy Watkins' ADP value right now nosedive. I mean, clearly it's a downgrade at the quarterback position going from Tyrod Taylor. That is the sound of Sammy Watkins' ADP right now. It's fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want any part of Sammy Watkins.
None.
I've said on this podcast recently, I was totally in on buying into him with Buffalo. We'd seen him hit that ceiling. You know, if he could stay fully healthy with Tyrod, great things could come. Now you put him into the Rams offense. And, like, while I have faith in Sean McVay there long term, we don't know how it's going to look. We don't know how Jared Goff's going to look. There's Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp still. It's just you put his injury concerns on an already concerning offense, and I just – no thanks.
Nope.
Plus, we're 3 weeks from – Week one, and Sammy Watkins doesn't know the Rams playbook. Like, he needs to learn some plays. And
Nine route, baby.
He was like, whatever the team needs to
just
do,
run
I'll go do it.
Maybe Jared will.
But it's concerning. Like, guys got to learn the playbook before they can sort of break out. And our friend Rich Rebar over from Roto-World also tweeted this stat about Jared Goff last week. 7.1% of Goff's completions were on throws of 15-plus yards last year. That was ahead of only RG3 and Joe Flacco. That's not good for a deep threat like Sammy Watkins.
That I understand, but it's tough, though, right? I mean, it's a completely different offensive mindset going from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay.
Exactly.
Plus, it's the second year of Jared Goff, too. I mean, he's not a rookie now. You know what I mean? So he's had a full training camp, and I think he's buying in. I don't know, man.
I'm all about it. I'm like, come to Bud.
You're about what?
Sammy Watkins.
Oh.
Sammy Watkins.
Because you can get him in the fifth round now.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, there were concerns about injuries and things. Like, all the concerns. Like, if you were in on Sammy Watkins last week, you should be more encouraged this
more
week.
More encouraged?
If you were willing to overlook his injury history, because that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
He's never been healthy. So, yeah. I didn't. My feelings on him stayed the same. Actually, improved a little bit because if you're like, do I want him playing
improved?
Do you want him in McVay's offense or Sean McDermott's offense?
Well, we don't know anything about McDermott's offense.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I wouldn't want any part of him. But now I think that McVay at least has some credibility NFL-wise of constructing good offenses. I feel like they will design plays for Watkins to go out there and be successful. I think Goff is playing a little bit better. Goff didn't get any instruction. Like, he was basically on an intramural team.
Right.
With no coach.
That's right.
And it was like, go out and make up your own plays,
that's
bro.
That's right.
Because we're not – Well, Jeff Fisher's main thing was getting that team to move from St. Louis. Like, he was the guy driving the Beacons truck. That's where his expertise ended.
The relocation leader.
And now we have an NFL coach helping Goff.
So here's what I look at. One, and I don't know the answer to this. This is something that would be worth looking into, and maybe somebody knows the answer. How likely is it, or how often does it happen that a guy who doesn't throw the ball downfield all of a sudden becomes this downfield passer just because there's a new coach? Like, either you're that dude or you're not. You know, like, Jameis Winston is always going to be the grip it and rip it. We're going to throw it downfield and see what happens. It doesn't matter who's calling the plays. He just has that mindset. Alex Smith has gone through multiple offensive coordinators. He's never suddenly become the guy who's like, you know what? I'm just going to start chucking the ball down the field.
I see what you're saying.
Does Jared Goff suddenly become that guy? The other part is, they were playing in as Todd Gurley called it, a middle school offense.
Right.
Basically, like, you know, I think Goff would go in the huddle, take some rocks out of his pocket, and be like, all right, Kenny Britt, this is you. We want you to run here and go to the fire hydrant, turn around.
Yeah.
Like, if he wasn't the guy who was going
to
chuck it deep.
And turn around.
Right. Like, if he wasn't going to be the guy to chuck it deep when he basically could just do essentially whatever he wanted, like, why now?
Also, my big concern is that, yes, he was in the Jeff Fisher offense. Yes, there was a lack of talent on that offense. But Jared Goff put up historically bad numbers in that offense, not all of the blame of which can fall on the shoulders of Jeff Fisher and a lack of talent.
Look at Elway's rookie season.
No, not this bad. Here's from our good friend. JJ grabbed this. JJ Zacharyson grabbed this extra stat. 48 QBs have had 200-plus attempts in their rookie year since 2000. Only Andrew Walter had a worse adjusted net yards per attempt than Jared Goff.
Whom?
Wow, Andrew Walter, the pride of Arizona State.
Pride of ASU, man. Play for the Raiders. Play for the Raiders, man.
Why didn't they retire the number 16 at Arizona State? It outrages me.
Wasn't Jake Plummer 16?
He was 16. They should have retired.
Here are some players who Jared Goff finished worse than in adjusted net yards per attempt. Jimmy Clausen, David Carr, Bruce Gradkowski, Blaine Gabbert,
Josh
Freeman.
I'm seeing a lot of first-round picks.
Why are we first-round picks?
You could have stopped at Jimmy Clausen.
So my point is, like, that is part of the problem for me, too, is, yes, I'm a fan of McVay, and he's done some great things, but also he has a small track record in the NFL right now, and it was just as an offensive coordinator. He looks the part. He can talk the part, but he's got a huge question mark at quarterback now for Sammy Watkins, and in an offense we need to see them do some stuff on the field. I just cannot buy in at a fifth round.
Hey guys, I have some. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, you guys have convinced me not to take Jared Goff in my fantasy league, but I'll still take Sammy Watkins. Is he not as good as Kenny Britt, who had a mini breakout last year?
A little bit.
I mean, a fifth round receiver. I won't take him because that'll just doom him.
That's true. Don't take him in the fifth round, please.
I do have some breaking news here.
Hit me.
Oh boy.
Courtesy of our own Ian Rappaport. The Chargers.
Oh boy.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes.
Are eyeing an October debut for first round pick wide receiver Mike Williams.
Oh.
They're
nice.
Saying the team.
Good news.
The team is saying that he could.
That's good news.
He could come back and start practicing in September as he's recovering from a herniated disc. And could make his debut in October, of course. They still have to wait and see. There's still an outside chance he could start the season on the PUP list, but they're going to try and figure this thing out.
Okay.
Well, that's good news.
That is good news, but we're in the midst of a trade that had massive ripple effects. So,
that's exactly right.
And the last part about the Sammy Watkins-ness here is, like, franchise mentioned, he doesn't know the playbook and stuff yet. They also signed Robert Woods. They drafted Cooper Kupp. They still have Tavon Austin. They're going to target the running backs. He drafted tight ends to play.
That's not crowded, man. You just listed off a bunch of guys that are just also Rams.
Who also know the playbook.
Okay.
And that have been there longer.
Cooper Kupp's been there 3 weeks longer.
It's still more time.
I don't know.
If you were going to sit here before Sammy Watkins got here and started talking about the Rams receiving corps,
Dookie stink,
and now all of a sudden Sammy Watkins, he's got so many great people to battle.
Okay.
I don't know how he gets on the
field.
He competed against Robert Woods before.
Sammy Watkins is a home run threat, so he's got that going for him. But now let's stack up the negatives. He's got a QB who has a suspect deep ball.
Yeah.
He's not going to get the target share in a vaunted offense. He's got to learn the playbook still.
He's going to get the target share.
I mean, I don't know, man. I find it difficult. Hey,
I think we need to pay close attention to how he's used in practice, how they use him in preseason games coming up. If your draft is in 2 or 3 weeks, use that information where to value him.
Okay.
Right now, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, man. Like I said, his value is falling. So to me, it makes it a little bit more attractive.
Creating value. Yeah,
it's creating
it's
value.
It's good. It's
tell you what, if Sammy
looking
Sammy
at wide receiver
if
three,
but it's
he
reflecting
falls
the
to
uncertainty.
Like, the ninth round, I'll take him.
Whoa.
Antonio Brown.
The other big piece in that trade, or in the cascade of trades that we saw on Friday, was that Jordan Matthews goes now from Philadelphia to Buffalo. Obviously, it's a downgrade for the offense. Let's talk about from a fantasy perspective. We'll start with Jordan Matthews. Look, he is, however you slice it, he's the most – you know, name recognizable name in that wide receiving core.
Yeah.
I know, it's not great.
Wait a minute.
Hey, they just signed Anquan Boldin.
Anquan Boldin.
He's a more recognizable name than Jordan Matthews right now.
And Jordan Matthews cracked his sternum.
Yeah, he's injured already. He's week to week.
First practice has Bill.
Yeah.
Chip sternum. And he's week to week.
Cool.
Wait, Chip sternum hit him?
That's the injury. Yeah.
I'm like, God, I've never heard of Chip Sternum.
I'll tell you what, Chip Sternum
sounds like the villain in an 80s movie.
Totally. I was just about to say, he's that dirty player in that football movie that's going to take the cheap shot.
Didn't Patrick Swayze beat the hell out of Chip Sternum in Roadhouse?
That's the dude he pulled his throat out.
Roadhouse.
Through his sternum.
Roadhouse.
franchise, we'll start with you. Jordan Matthews, I think if you're a more casual player, I think he's going to be the first Bills wide receiver taken off the board. Should he be the first Bills wide receiver taken off?
I think you go Anquan Boldin in this scenario.
Okay.
Just because he's a veteran and it's a run-first team, and Jordan Matthews, we've kind of seen him – I feel like I think his yardage totals have been pretty similar the last 3 years, but his touchdown totals last year, I think he only had 3 after having 8 in each of the last 2 seasons. That's a little concerning. Now he's injured, so we don't know when he's going to be able to get back on the field. I think I'm leaning towards Anquan Boldin as a late round bench warmer.
In 12 team leagues, is there any Buffalo wide receiver you would take? Period. I don't feel like Jordan Matthews.
Leagues?
12 team. I don't feel like Jordan Matthews, Anquan Boldin, Zay Jones.
I take a shot at Zay Jones.
I don't
late.
Think either.
I'll buy
I don't
that
think,
lottery.
I don't think
ticket.
Anybody, any one of those three, they're presents all, to me any upside.
They're all slot receivers, right?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Well, they are. But
what's the target share?
The talk is, you know, that Jones will play outside. He is the fastest of the three,
for sure.
He's the fastest of the three, and so you know, I would take a shot at him. I think you know he has certainly more potential, say in best ball leagues or something. But I'd give him a shot late, and you know, put him in there as my fifth or sixth wide receiver, and let it go from there.
I mean, plus we start talking about learning playbooks. Jordan Matthews learning a brand new playbook here, and his first practice in, he chips his sternum, and he's going to be week to week. So he's going to be way behind.
They've also got Corey Philly Brown, Andre Holmes.
I think Philly Brown might get cut. That's how bad he's been.
Really?
Yeah, he's been bad.
I was going to say he's their deep threat, but I guess maybe
Holmes
not.
Holmes might be the deep threat, too. I think the place I might take Jordan Matthews is later if it's a PPR format. Because what I could see him coming into is putting up a pretty consistent 5 for 54 kind of line, which does not sound great. But if we're talking about a receiver in the double-digit rounds in a PPR format, 12-team league or so – I'll take a stab at J-Matt there. He is a good player, but being the slot receiver in a Bills offense that has finished 32nd and 31st in the league in pass attempts the last 2 years, not an ideal thing.
Can I say I have the sads for Tyrod?
I was just about to ask you.
I slid Tyrod down in my ranking. I had him among my top 10 quarterbacks because I loved his upside, having Sammy, knowing what they've done together, and his rushing ability. But now you take that home run threat out of that offense, and he just becomes a floor play. Those 30-point fantasy games and Tyrod's range of outcomes are gone.
Yeah, gone.
He'll probably never get you fewer than 10 points, but he's also probably not going to cross 20 hardly ever.
The sad part about it all is that Tyrod Taylor throws a beautiful deep ball. Sammy Watkins is an awesome deep player.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It just You're taking off one of his legs, man. It stinks. It's, for Tyrod.
Yeah, he falls way to the back end of my late round quarterback targets now. I'd much rather take an Andy Dalton type ahead of him in that range.
Just for reference, Robert Woods led the Bills last year with 613 receiving yards.
Yep, and Tyrod was still a top 10 quarterback.
So there's that.
There is that. All right, how does not having Sammy Watkins, and yes, they add Jordan Matthews, who's a big, you know, slot receiver, but how does that help or hurt Shady McCoy's value? Because part of me says, well, okay, clearly they're not going to throw the ball a ton. At least you wouldn't think so. But then on the flip side of that is, well, opposing defenses now, I think you can sneak that safety down, and I think you could do it with confidence because, again, there's not really that guy that's going to be able to take that top off the defense. How does losing Sammy Watkins impact somebody like Shady McCoy, Marcus Grant?
I don't know that it impacts him a ton. I mean, look, they're not going to throw the ball a lot, but let's not pretend that this is, you know, I don't know. This isn't like a terrible passing game. It's just not a high-powered, explosive passing game. I mean, between Matthews and Bolden and even Zay Jones, they can be competent enough that your defenders are going to have to respect the passing game.
So an okay real-life passing game, but for fantasy purposes, not so much, but because it's nice in real life.
Right, it's enough to keep McCoy relevant. I mean, this is a team that, you know, the last two seasons combined, they've run a ball over 1,000 times, which is the most in the NFL. They're going to continue to run the ball heavily. And you know, I think Shady will be Shady. I'm not really concerned there.
All right.
It's not like Sammy Watkins played the entire season last year. You know, he missed 8 games, and McCoy was still an elite fantasy back.
Yeah. All right. How about on the other team now, the LA Rams? I would imagine, Adam Rank, having somebody like Sammy Watkins, that's got to help somebody like Todd Gurley because, again, we start talking about safeties creeping into that box. A little tougher to do with Sammy Watkins out there.
Yeah, you do have a relevant receiving options out there that should take it. Plus, you know, the Rams did make some improvements on the offensive
big time.
And again, I'm just going to go back to the offensive minded coach and just have a little bit of faith in him. And again, you're going to get a good value because people were so burned last year that they don't want to walk. It's like when you go someplace and you have food poisoning and then you never want to see it again. Like, you won't even drive past it. There's a place in Sunset Beach I will never go to ever again. I got it so bad.
Okay.
And
what did you order?
It was just a burger.
Oh.
How do you screw that up?
I don't know. It's undercook it, I guess.
Apparently. It didn't seem like it at the time because normally you would know it. You would bite in and be like, something's fishy here. But no, it seemed fine and seemed okay. And that's what Todd Gurley was like.
Then
he seemed fine. He seemed okay. Everybody rationalized reasons why.
Yes.
I had Gurley in just one league and one I didn't really care about. So I'm not too severely burned by him. So I'm pretty confident. Again, I will take the value right there. The only thing that bums me out is, like, get rid of that little gold accent on the Rams uniforms.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree.
Oh,
yeah.
You're so it close. Doesn't,
yeah, 100% agree.
You're so
that
close.
As well.
Their practice, 100%. Their practice uniforms are the best. Like, they would have the best uniform in the NFL if they just wore their practice uniforms.
I hear that.
Can we talk about the Eagles quick, too? Because I think the departure of J-Matt actually helps their situation a lot.
Does it?
Yes. Well, because I think I've even said on this podcast that I was concerned about Alshon Jeffrey at his ADP because you were looking at a team that Carson Wentz, I think, finished 6th or 7th in the league in pass attempts. We were expecting that to come back down. He was there with Jordan Matthews, Torrey Smith, Zach Ertz. Nelson Aguilar was gunning for a spot in the slot for Matthews' spot. It seemed like it was a muddled situation. But now you take J-Matt out, and suddenly those people have clearly defined roles. Alshon Jeffrey's the number one there. Like, Jordan Matthews, some people were even wondering if he could beat Jeffrey in targets this year if they were on the same team because of his history there and rapport. Okay. Now he's out of the picture, so Alshon Jeffrey is the clear number one.
Right.
I feel a little bit better about grabbing him in his ADP range. He's going about, you know, wide receiver 15 to 20, depending on where you're going.
Sign me up.
Just because things are clearer now. That huge chunk of targets that Jordan Matthews was going to command is out of the picture, and sure, Aguilar's going to inherit some of those working in the slot, but now with that true number one wide receiver outside, I think it's very good news for Alshon Jeffrey.
And then once Nelson Aguilar drops about 17 passes in a row, they're going to stop going.
Look, he bought new hands this offseason, right? It's fine.
When
he drops those 17 passes in a row,
they're
going to stop going to him. Yeah. And then that's going to just mean more targets for Alshon Jeffrey. So, yeah, I'm in on that.
I just think it helped clear stuff up there a lot. It's not really a gain or loss for Carson Wentz or anybody else, but for Jeffrey, it helped solidify his status as that number one wide receiver, and I'd feel better about taking him where he's going now.
All right, how about Thomas Rawls? Let's talk about some preseason games here. Thomas Rawls worked with Seattle's first team. He's been getting first team reps. Eddie Lacy, meanwhile, worked with the second team in their preseason game against the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, neither one did really much of anything. Thomas Rawls, 2 rushes, 5 yards. Eddie Lacy, 4 rushes, 10 yards. So neither one was terribly impressive. But that being said, I think if you're reading the tea leaves, Adam Rank, Thomas Rawls certainly looks like he could be the starter to open the season.
Wow. Franchise is, I think, ready to pounce on this one.
Oh, is he?
He's heavily invested in Thomas Rawls.
Him he was mad look, online this morning about Thomas Rawls.
I wrote an article about the Seattle backfield earlier in the week. You can check it out, NFL.com/franchise.
Okay.
In that article, I pointed out that Thomas Rawls is the best value in this backfield because Lacy's going like 6th-ish round as of last week at least.
Nope. Don't
He's coming
that.
Off ankle surgery.
Don't want it.
This is – it's crazy.
Like, they – everyone says they added him in free agency to be their feature back, and then camp starts, and Rawls is splitting first-team reps with him. So
right.
What does that signal? It signals that the team wants Rawls to be that early down guy. He runs violently, so he's susceptible to injury. But people point to last year with Rawls. Oh, he was so bad. Like, look at his terrible production. He had was coming off a shattered ankle and, like, a broken leg.
That's right.
And they had – the offensive line was terrible. Russell Wilson was banged up. I think if anything –
everything that went wrong or that could go wrong with Seattle's offense went wrong.
Except for Kristen Michael leading them in rushing.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wish I had the X-Files theme on this sound.
R.I.P. Oh, Kristen Michael. Good. Anyway, Thomas Rawls, when we saw him in 2015 when he took over for Marshawn Lynch, I think we're going to see an improvement on that version of Thomas Rawls.
I totally agree.
Guys, as
and
rookies,
you can get him in the double-digit rounds right now?
That's what I'm saying. I think
his
ADP is starting to creep up.
You're right.
People see him working with the first team.
Right.
But I'm completely out on Eddie Lacy. There's no reason to burn a pick in the 6th round on a guy like Eddie Lacy.
Let's say those values slip, though.
If those values flip,
yeah,
I'll take Rawls in the 5th round.
Where Thomas Rawls is starting to go, like, let's say, in the 7th round, and we're starting to see Eddie Lacy go in the 10th.
I'm all in on Rawls.
As the Lord intended.
And then you got CJ Procise, who I've been kind of pounding the table for since he entered the league, and he had all offseason to work on his conditioning. He lined up 3 of his 11 snaps in the preseason game were lined up as a wide receiver. He didn't get any targets, but they're going to use him in that role. I think Paul Richardson got hurt. I think he had a knee injury.
No, Paul Richardson had a shoulder separate or an AC joint problem.
Right,
that's what it was. It was a diving catch. Made a great catch. And then instantly got hurt.
I think they're going to find ways to get Procise involved as a pass catcher. He'll be the 2-minute drill, third down kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then Rawls and Lacy will rotate, but I think Rawls is the preferred guy for that offense.
All right, there you go. By the way, we welcome in those folks on Facebook Live. I know there might be some audio issues there, and for that I do apologize. But, hey, listen, if you've got some questions, roll them in. We'll try to read some of your comments and questions on the air as we have time. All right, let's talk about Paul Perkins now. He continues to disappoint in New York. I mean, we're talking about guys that are, you know, splitting first-team reps. Well, according to an ESPN report, Perkins, quote, hasn't blown anyone away this summer. And Orleans Darkwa continues to split first-team reps there in New York. What do we make of this news regarding
Perkins? There's also reports that Shane Vereen, they're really excited about him, too. We were joking around when
Shane Vereen keep his triceps intact?
Maybe.
That was such bad luck last year.
Double tricep tear? That's like craziness.
Outrageously bad luck.
It's crazy.
For Shane Vereen.
Just wear the sleeve, man. What's
probably pretty painful.
The sleeve, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Compression sleeve.
Yeah, just compression
sleeve. Exactly. What's
you
the
can't
problem?
Tear it, right?
You know what I mean?
What's that thing Favre's hawking these days? Copper something?
Copper fit.
Copper
yeah.
fit.
Yeah, he needs a little copper fit on the tricep.
Copper tone was the first thing that came to mind. He had sunscreen.
Yeah, that's not it.
About those copper fit, you know,
put the copper tone
socks.
On first, wrap it up in a copper fit.
You do.
Good to go.
All the copper.
Guys, it's just science, okay?
You know? Exactly.
These are
well,
facts.
If it's obviously. Wrapped, how is it going to explode out?
Okay, anyways, Rank, I feel like you were actually making a point with the Giants back.
Probably wasn't. No. we were joking while we were when Franchise is pounding the table with Thomas Rawls, where you're like, listen, this is why you draft early before those ADP values switch.
Right.
Paul Perkins would have been the opposite of that, where I would have been burned by it because yeah. I'm – I'm excited about him. I'm a little biased because I enjoyed watching him at UCLA.
That's right.
And he hasn't taken control of it. So I need to start taking emotion out of it and realize that nobody's stepping up and that the Giants are probably just going to end up throwing it 800 times again. So it really, when I hear that nobody's stepping up and like, okay, I've seen this show before.
That's right.
Like, I know how it ends. It's not good. And it means that dead arm Eli is going to have to throw the ball an awful lot, which means Sterling Shepard. The interesting one for me is Sterling Shepard. I really think that if he can be completely healthy when the season starts, he has an opportunity, especially with both the big-name guys out there.
Brandon Marshall,
Beckham Jr. is already out there impressing people with his one-handed grabs and everything.
Man.
And Brandon Marshall will just draw the attention because he's still Brandon Marshall. I don't think that he's going to be as effective as he was, you know, back in his time in Chicago and Denver and everything like that. But
he's still a good weapon.
But I think that their de facto running game becomes a dude like Sterling Shepard, who they're going to find a way to get.
Or maybe Shane Vereen, as you mentioned.
Or maybe Shane Vereen. So it's troubling. I don't trust either one of those two guys battling for first-team reps.
Right. I feel like the Giants' backfield has just been a muddled mess for like three or four
years.
And nobody can figure out.
It has.
That's right. I hope they just re-sign Rashad Jennings once again.
Don't put that evil out.
What difference does it make? It's not, I mean, you're not drafting Paul Perkins. You're definitely not drafting Orleans Darkwa. I mean, come on. Who cares?
Are they really done? I mean, like, you have to go back to the Tiki Barber, I think.
I think
Rashad Jennings had one decent year there where he was like the RB20-ish, and he missed a few games, I think. Yeah, and then we were all like, guys, he's going to be great next year. And then they
– yep, see ya.
I think that's when they gave Andre Williams like 10 attempts inside the one-yard
line.
That's
right, they drafted Andre Williams. Why did y'all – that makes no sense.
Then the unpleasantness.
Sorry to trigger you guys with the question of Andre Williams.
Speaking of running backs that we have completely missed on, apparently I am a garbage talent evaluator. Samaje Perine. It's a clear-cut backup to Robert.
Oh, this is why you do drafts early, because if you took R. Kelly, you'd be stoked.
Perine having a terrible camp thus far. He had a fumble and a drop pass in last Thursday's preseason game against the Ravens. 6 rushes, 15 yards, 2.5 yards per carry average. And reports out of camp have painted a picture of a running back in Samaje Perine that has struggled in blitz pickup and pass protection.
So
is that Dalvin Cook the other night?
So he's fumbled the ball.
He's fumbled it.
He struggles in pass protection.
And he's dropped passes.
And the coaches have said they were concerned that he doesn't hit the hole hard enough. That's other than that, everything's going great.
I mean, fix your mic a little bit.
He's
like
a talented, strong dude.
There we go.
A friend, Matt Waldman, who does the RSP. I think he was on the podcast in the offseason.
Yeah.
Me and Harmon had him on the Fantasy Hipsters podcast, and he compared Samaje Perine and Rob Kelly, saying Rob Kelly was like a wok pan.
Okay.
A wok. And
W-O-K.
Yes.
Yes.
And Samaje Perine is like a cast iron pan.
Okay.
Being like, eventually, the handle on Rob Kelly is going to break off.
I see.
But Samaje Perine is going to be strong. I think this is just rookie growing pains. I also, if you listen to the ATN podcast from Friday, Mark Sesser talked about how the entire Redskins offense just looked like trash. They were just getting dominated by the Ravens.
Bad.
I mean, it's not a good sign. I think it's rookie growing pains for Perine. Hopefully he can improve. I like him as a talent. But for now, Rob Kelly's the best value.
Like, we almost expect too much. Like, we expect him to come in and be like, how is he not running for 1,400 yards in his rookie season?
Yes.
Like, not everybody.
Because there are these guys like Mixon and Fournette that are, like, doing things.
I think it's important to remember with this team specifically, and this is why it was possible to read the tea leaves last year that Rob Kelly was going to have some value down the stretch, is that Gruden and that offensive staff despise almost more than anybody putting the football on the ground.
That's right.
So for
Matt Jones.
Yeah, well, Matt Jones, that's what got him out of the way. Perine to have done that in practice and then, you know, have it become an issue is just going to cement Kelly as the starter for at least a while. I don't think this makes Perine irrelevant. He could still be worth a, you know, last round dart throw or a guy to keep an eye on the bench on the waiver wire and call up quickly.
Okay.
Because this backfield could change. And we know Rob Kelly, he was fine last year. He's not going to.
Have we switched bodies? What's going on here? Why are you talking up for Perine?
I've been talking up for Kelly, and I still think he's a value. I'm just saying, like, Rob Kelly also isn't like a transcendent talent at the running back position. He could easily cede this job down the line to Perine.
But
here's what's going to happen. You're going to draft him with one of your last picks, and you're going to hold on to him for 4 weeks.
I mean, here's the problem with Perine. He's going in the 9th round.
He'll still.
Didn't you take him in the fifth in one of our mocks?
Yes, he did.
He'll continue. Whatever.
I'm insane. What do you want from me?
He won't do anything for the first 5 weeks. You'll drop him, and then that week.
And then that's the week.
Boom! Breakout.
200 yards on the ground. Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't know what to make of all the reports. They certainly haven't been great. But, you know, again, just the overall talent level, I still believe. But, man, he is having difficulty picking up this offense and making that transition from the collegiate game to the pro game. It's so funny. It's so funny, too, man, because in college he had no problems holding on to that rock. I mean, you never heard about a fumbling problem with P. Ryan. It's not like Amir Abdullah, who had fumbling problems in college as well, and then we saw that translate to the pros. It's just it's craziness. So we're hoping for the best, but, again, in that ninth round, which is where his value is today, obviously a bit overvalued considering he is a clear-cut backup there in Washington. All right, this is what everyone's been waiting for. We've been teasing these listener leagues. We're going to finally make an announcement here. We are going to let in one listener per league, the OG League, the Bearded League, and the Danger Zone League as well. So, again, how do you go about, you know, being considered for one of these listener leagues? Well, it's easy. You got to subscribe to the podcast. You got to rate the podcast. And you got to review the podcast. And I tell you what, if you screenshot the review and then send it to us, that is what helps us make these decisions. But
you don't have to. I was combing through iTunes reviews today. There are a lot of good ones out there. So thanks, everybody.
Ones.
Keep sending them in.
100%.
Appreciate all you guys are doing for us there. And the reviews are a lot of fun to read. You guys have said a lot of nice things, yeah. A lot of great feedback. Really appreciate it.
And it's really cool to see you know, the committed listeners who have listened to us for a very long time, you know, callbacks to different things. So it's very cool, and we do appreciate the kind words. All right, let's get this thing rolling. Let's start with the OG League. Do you guys have somebody, Alex Kelhar and Marcus Grant? Do you guys have somebody?
We do. Would you like to read that, Alex?
Yeah, I will read it. Are you dying over there? What's happening?
I'm dying.
Voice?
This is it. This is my last show.
Oh my gosh,
your voice like just literally went out. Okay, so
cufflinks.
You know, we had a lot of people, you know, reaching out to us like, what if I've already reviewed it in the past, or how can I get in? And we were like, you know, you have to go the extra mile sometimes if you really want to be in these listener
100%.
Leagues. 100%. Competition is fierce. So the first entrant into the OG League is somebody that went above and beyond the Call of Duty. I wanted to figured this would be a good first one to bring in to set the bar for people like, you know, go the extra mile. It certainly will not hurt. So the review, Amazing Pod by Marcus Murray. Is the headline, but the username is Froggy1313. We'll get to that in a second. Since it's been 2 years now, my thoughts on the podcast have not changed. I love it. I listen to it every week, even in the off season. It's fantastic. If you want my original thoughts, just check out my review from July 31st, 2016, and you shall see. That's right, I've already written a review, so how am I doing it again? Because I'm on my wife's iTunes account. I want to be in a listener league so badly, I made my way through 3 Demi Lovato playlists, 2 Outlander, 2 Outlander podcast subscriptions to get here. I'm crazy for fantasy, and the crew on the podcast is partly to blame for it. He's the CPO, Chief Punishment Officer in his league, and he hits us up on Twitter from time to time, showing his buddies public punishments in their league's seat of shame. He says they've received some pretty funny submissions, responses from us in the Stronghold, but the bottom line is he would love to be in a listener league. He digs all of us on the pod. Alex Gellhart is probably his favorite since we have a lot in common. That's not the reason I picked this. He works in a movie theater
rigged.
And watches a lot of films, and we tend to agree. He says, Marcus and I introduced him to the magic of The Room thanks to Daily Daps. He also says,
buddy,
stop hating on Daps. They're great. So the OG League would be ideal.
Hell yeah.
He also mentions he has a beard. He could be in the Bearded League. He loves you guys for the Danger Zone League. But he says if he doesn't get into the OG League, he would probably go into his living room and scream, you're tearing me apart, Lisa! So hopefully this review convinces us to let him in. I think because he went above and beyond, he had reviewed last year and didn't get in. And he had shout-outs to The Room, which Marcus and I helped him in.
Yeah.
Marcus Murray, welcome. You're the first
welcome.
Entry into the OG League this year.
Oh, hooray.
Huzzah!
That's pretty good. Well, I mean, it checks all the boxes. First, it's another Marcus. Alex Kelhar's his favorite. Makes a Room reference. It all makes sense.
He's a U.S. Marcus, though, and not an AS
right.
as we have. So.
More the conventional.
There you go. All right. We go to the Bearded League.
Although... this league could have an identity shift. You and Harmon were discussing that on Slack.
We were discussing the name. It might be the Hipsters League.
Might be the Hipsters League.
You know we don't know.
Might be the Dog League.
I think we're going to the Hipsters League.
Yeah.
I think that's...
We might shift.
I mean, we got to stay on brand here.
Harmon doesn't have a beard anymore.
Well,
it's thinner.
It's thinner. It's thinner.
But yeah, we were the beardly last
much
year,
like he
we
is.
Both had, you know, nice
much like Harmon is thinner. His beard is thinner as well.
But we do have our first entrant.
Okay.
We have decided.
Okay, here we go.
It's our guy, Jesse Reeves, who apparently is a huge Chargers
fan. Huge Chargers fan.
He posted this photo of him, looks like, at a Chargers practice with a gigantic black beard just glistening in the sun.
Oh, good Lord. Look at that thing.
Putting my beard to absolute shame.
Oh, good God.
He's written multiple reviews for the podcast. What does he have to do to get in the league? He also wrote reviews for our Hipsters podcast, so thank you, Jesse.
Okay.
So me and Harmon kind of collectively on Twitter were like, look, you know what?
You and he who shall be named later.
Yes.
Right.
Collectively decided.
I don't know who this Harmon person is.
Right, me neither.
Yeah, okay.
We're letting Jesse in. He quickly tweeted a gif of Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec doing his little dance around the room with his hands.
Let's roll.
Waiting for the official decision.
Okay, good.
This is the official decision. Jesse Reeves at Bolt Gang Thang. Change it. You're in. You're in the Beard Hipster League.
I'll say this about Jesse Reeves as well. He has been a longtime supporter of the podcast.
Yes, yes.
He's followed all of us. He's hit all of us up online.
Wow, that is a good beard, though. I just went and found it.
That's a hell of a beard.
His pinned tweet is a selfie of
with Keenan Allen,
and their beards are very similar.
Oh, man.
Nice job, Jesse.
I do like it.
You're
the
in.
Fact that his pinned tweet is with somebody else with also a meticulous beard like Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Strong. Strong.
Good guy.
Welcome to the Hipsters League.
Welcome, buddy.
All right, there you go. All right, Adam Rank, how about it? Danger zone.
We've decided to pass on our selection.
Oh, nobody's getting in.
What?
We're going to keep looking. We haven't seen anybody who's really stood out.
That's tough gig.
That's inaccurate.
I'm just joking.
That is inaccurate. This is a guy that you were trying to force feed down into.
I wanted to get him in for the last 4 weeks, and you're like, nope, nope.
Okay.
Nope.
I've been stiff arming him.
Why? Why don't you
And then I put him in, and now you're stiff arming him.
No, I'm all in.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, make the announcement.
Hong Kong Hawk.
Atta baby.
Is going to be the first participant in the Danger Zone League.
Woo!
A young man who has spent a lot of time, I don't want to say haranguing, but has been interacting with us.
He's been persistent.
And he uses a lot of memes.
Yes, he
does. But he uses good ones because I think one of them, the best one that he had was a Jamie Noble meme, which was perfect.
Okay.
Because that kind of stuff speaks to me. If you know me at all, you know that I will love obscure WWE characters
sure.
that everybody's heard of. Or Star Wars. Either way. You could have gone with either one of those, but he's been a consistent off-season threat. Not threat, but, you know, like a consistent off-season participant. You know?
Yes.
Always there.
Consistent and persistent.
I like that. That's pretty much me. Like, I don't do anything that stands out.
Okay.
I show up all the time. So that's the one thing.
All right. So there you go. I do enjoy it. Looks like – is Marcus Murray on our Facebook Live?
Might be.
He says, you're my favorite customer.
Ah.
So there you go. I like it. by the way, let's answer that at least one Facebook Live question,
please.
Shall we? All right. So Daniel Ortega Sendra asked this question. Joe Mixon, Ty Montgomery – or Dalvin Cook as your RB2?
Tymont.
I still want Tymont for right now.
Dalvin Cook.
I think Dalvin's closing that gap, though.
Yeah, he is.
Dalvin Cook.
And I know you were just ragging on him a little bit, Rank, for pass protection. I think that one that you had tweeted, Franchise, definitely looked like a business decision, but watching a little more of that game, he got in there and had some good reads on
it. No. That was one play.
That was one play.
We talked about that last week. I said if he's doing that kind of ass in week 3 of the preseason, I'll be concerned. Dude, he's a – No, he's – Dalvin Cook is the best rookie.
It looked like he was concerned with getting out into his route more than necessarily chipping. But,
yeah.
You know.
I just think he has the least path of resistance to being a 200-carry guy as a
rookie. Oh, 100%. And the zone blocking scheme is perfect for him because that's what they ran at Florida State.
He looks so smooth out of the back.
He just – you know what it looked like when he was that one play that Franchise did? It's like when you're trying to leave early to go to work and you have to walk by the break room and somebody's filling their coffee. You know, like, hey, did you see that? Oh, dude, Angels. Yeah, yeah. And you just keep walking. Like, I got to go. Like, yeah, I would normally love to sit here and chat with you. And that's what Dalvin Cook was doing. He's like, I got to get out to the lot.
People were saying it looked like he had a route to run.
And a route to run.
You know,
a lot of things going on in your mind. It's his first NFL game.
Right.
Step off.
Right.
All right.
Sorry that I called him out for that.
It's hilarious. No, it's funny.
It looked bad on tape, okay?
Didn't look good. It did not look good. All right. Some other comments here on Facebook Live. Ryan Anderson wants to know, can James grow a beard? You guys have seen me attempt to grow a beard.
It's not good. I just shaved this morning, and mine looked bad, too. But yours, like, you make mine look ferocious.
Right.
Oh, man.
It looks like the top of LeBron James's head.
Bald.
You know what I'm saying?
Bald.
Patchy.
Like a neglected chia pet.
Bald. It's bad.
Bald, Jerry. Bald.
It's not good. So, no, I cannot grow a proper beard at all. Travis Lamar Myers is asking, any way I can improve my chances of joining a listener league? Maybe wash a car. That's not necessary.
What?
Travis,
that
Travis,
I mean,
that
it wouldn't hurt.
Well, okay.
It wouldn't hurt.
My car could use a wash.
I need to get my he wants to detail my car to get into our league because I need to go get that done soon. Right. My car is a mess.
All right, so there you go. But no, rate, review the podcast. And again, subscribe to the podcast.
Yep.
That's what we want.
And also don't forget to sign up today to play at
NFL.com/fantasy. Let me read this beautiful promo we have for NFL.com.
Please, James.
/fantasy. Fantasy season is here. Keep the game at your fingertips with the NFL Fantasy app. Draft live, manage your team anytime, anywhere. Visit NFL.com/fantasy and get started for free today. No cost to you, my friends. NFL.com.
I will say, too, I know the app had some issues last year, but they've got a lot of good improvements coming in this year.
They improved it.
So. A lot of good improvements. So hey. Don't give up on us yet, guys.
We're
trying to come back for you.
All right. Again, let's close out.
Yeah, there's somebody in Orange County who really wants to wash my car.
Okay.
Travis Lamar. Yeah. Myers. He's like, I live in Orange County. Let me know. I'm like, all right.
Wow.
He's in the Grove.
That would be hilarious, actually.
Yeah.
All right, should we get
that
daily daps?
That seems wildly inappropriate.
I think it is. That might cross some lines.
What, to get a car wash?
Yes.
Why is that rude? What if he works at a car wash? What if it's his business?
Okay, I'll tell you what.
And I'm promoting his business.
If that's his.
Why do you? So rude to people.
I don't know. It just seems. To get it to literally, it just seems wildly inappropriate.
HR might have some issues with that.
What?
One.
As if that's.
As long as, unless that car wash is valued at more than $250, I think that's clear.
Wow.
I know the HR manual.
Pretty steep.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Let's get to daily daps right. Before we get into trouble.
Let's do it.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
This is the daily
daps and hugs. People give me daps because I be scribbling rap.
Give me dabbing up daps about daps.
All right. Daily dap time. We shall start with the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What do you got?
Perfect. Well, my daily dap has to go out to Hamilton the Musical. I was lucky enough to see it this weekend at the Pantages.
Hard to get those tickets, man.
Hard. Well, my friend had committed to a season pass from the Pantages so she could get tickets. That's one way you could guarantee getting tickets when it came. So she went to several other shows, and I was like, if you do, I will pay my way. I will do whatever. I need to be your plus one for that. Because she's one of my only musical theater friends out here. We had seen Book of Mormon when it came. But Hamilton lives up to the hype. It is just absolutely spectacular.
Awesome.
It is so brilliantly written. The music, the blend of rap and more traditional musical numbers and things like that is outstanding. It's such a good story. There's so many good lines. The music is just tremendous. I've been listening to it all morning on Spotify now. So do whatever you can to try and see it. I know it's in Chicago right now. It's in New York. Obviously, it's in LA, and it's touring as well. Do whatever you can if you're a fan of musicals or just want to see a really really awesome story about one of kind of our underappreciated founding fathers.
There you go.
Hamilton was never president or anything. So it's super, 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 super good.
We go to the Magical Beard of Fantasy franchise. Matt Franciscovich, what you got?
I'm going
to
daily daps a show I started watching on Hulu called Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's Tale?
Handmaid's Tale?
Very good. Very good.
Easy for you to say.
I'm going to give a 3-word review, okay?
Okay.
Weird.
Weird.
Suspenseful. Gripping.
It's like
weird show, man.
It's like those promos you see on Hulu to get you to watch the show.
Yeah, it's like the New York Times says, weird. 5 stars.
Franchise says.
But I'm like, gripping. I think 4 episodes in now.
Okay.
And
I've been meaning to start it. I love the book.
It gets deep, man.
Damn good show.
Wait, you've seen the whole thing?
I've watched the whole first season, yes.
This is the one with the girls in those white visors?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
And it's weird. I don't really want to get into any details.
Sure.
But it's weird. But it's good.
And it's gripping.
It's gripping.
It's gripping.
It's suspenseful. There are many moments where I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
He's gripped and in suspense.
Yeah, exactly.
How many episodes by the weirdness.
I think there's 10 and they're an hour long. Okay. So I'm like 4 episodes.
Is this a miniseries where it's done after 10? It's, or
it? No, no. It is a, there's a second season coming.
Oh, it's a Hulu original.
It is a Hulu
streaming.
Original. There's a second season.
All right. Fair enough.
Very good show.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what you got?
First, I want to daily dap you, James Coe, for setting up the second K-Town Throwdown.
Okay.
Which
here we go.
I'm sure plenty of you out there listening to this podcast saw the saw the tweets and the Instagram photos and
that's
the snaps
right.
And all that. A good time was had by all.
I washed my hands with mouthwash. At one point.
Franchise washed his hands with mouthwash.
Might as well just come out and say that it.
Was
on Twitter.
That was a thing that happened.
Are you that faded?
Not at all.
In his defense, the setup in the restrooms at the karaoke place were a little bit confusing, and so like there was a dispenser.
Of mouthwash.
It looked like,
it looked
a soap
like it could
dispenser.
Be soap.
It did.
So in,
it was right
in franchise's defense, you know, it could happen.
Also, a lot of lights in there.
Also, who sets up a mouthwash pump?
There were also toothbrushes
next to the,
there.
Oh, my God. There were toothbrushes
like disposable
in there.
Toothbrushes.
You said that they were serving food.
No, no, no. Buddy, this
what
is
are you,
different.
Hooligans?
No, listen. We went to a Korean barbecue. Let's set this up first, okay? It's the second annual K-Town Throwdown. Okay. We had dinner first at a Korean barbecue joint where we, I mean, ate our weight in meat.
They played Bruno Mars' entire catalog.
They
at extremely high volumes, by the way.
It was ridiculous.
Fun
times.
There were drink towers there as well.
Beer this high.
It was very tall.
Is it the spigot on the bottom?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It was fun times had by all.
Is it 2002?
I don't, for whatever, this is what I said. Why do they only have these towers at Korean restaurants and Mexican joints in California?
I've been to.
They have them at Outpost.
I've been to a
sports bar.
Where is Outpost?
I've been to a sports bar that had them.
Did they?
Eh.
All right. Then we crawled into a ride share, and then we went to a karaoke joint that was nestled into the basement of a building.
Gotcha.
And everyone that I was taking there thought I was taking them to get chopped up.
Yeah, it was
shady
a little
journey.
Shady.
Yeah, it was
looked
super shady.
A little
but once
shady.
We got in there, it was great.
Yeah.
That's
except,
what you want.
Except for the disposable toothbrushes in the bathroom.
I mean, that should have been a signal to me, hey, there's mini cups and toothbrushes. This isn't soap.
Again, that being said, how many bathrooms have you really been in where there's a pump dispenser of mouthwash next to
right next to the sink.
Yeah.
None.
Not many places.
Right.
Not many.
Not
places.
Many.
So I don't blame you there, although that was pretty hilarious.
So anyway, yeah, but thanks to daps to James Coe for setting that up.
Jesus.
My other daily dap, though, for real, goes out to Chris Wessling, who had his announcement on the ATN podcast last
week.
Wait,
I haven't listened, so don't spoil it.
Stop it.
Dang it.
But I'm sure as you know, if you listen to the ATN podcast or you kind of follow along here, you certainly know Chris was going through cancer treatments for most of the summer. But he got great news that I believe he used the word cured and that the cancer has been
– awesome.
The doctor told him the cancer has been obliterated.
Obliterated.
That he's going to have one last surgery to make sure that it was all gone, but that he has beaten cancer. So I know for all of us around here, that was incredible news.
Big time.
Chris is one of the great people here. I mean, apart from being an outstanding football writer, just a great guy. And so, congrats to him. Certainly, we were all fighting for him,
hell yeah.
Alongside with him. But, daps to Chris Wessling and everybody who helped, help push him along through this, too, as well. Yeah.
There you go. I'm going to stay in that room full of heroes. I will daily dap Mark Sessler. He wrote a Saturday preseason roundup. And this line in his roundup had me lolling here. Quote, in La La Land, the Cowboys kept Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, Tyron Smith, and Jalen Smith coddled in bubble wrap, drenching Saturday's Cowboys-Rams tilt in an aura of desperate meaningless.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That Mark Sessler can spin some yarns, man.
That is Sesslerian.
Such a good writer.
That is straight-up Sesslerian.
Right? That's pretty good. So daily dabs to Mark Sessler. So there you go. For those of you listening, I know we just did a listener leak entrance. We're going to continue to do that. So you didn't miss out. There's going to be many more. Are you guys doing a 12-team league?
Yep. There's 9 more spots up for grabs in the OG league.
Okay.
I would imagine.
We're probably going to have to start doubling up on
nine
sure.
more franchise.
Yeah.
Your to-be-named league, and
16-team
league.
Yeah, 13 extra submissions still for you guys.
Right,
though.
For the danger zone. So we're going to have to catch up here.
We have Adam Rank to give daily dap still, don't we?
Oh, we do have Dave. Oh.
Trying to already.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to box you out.
Now I'm going to start.
Because I feel as if we've reached the limit.
Hold on.
So I feel like we should just wrap that music and just.
Nope. Okay. Let me go. I'm going to bring out the whole list.
I think he's got like a Google
Doc. He has
doc.
Notes.
He's got like a Google
Doc. I was like a Google Doc right now.
I was going to do just one, but now I'm because I wasn't going to do the Angels who just swept the Seattle Seattle Mariners.
You weren't going to do that, but you are.
I wasn't
right
going to do that.
But
I still won't do it.
And you've already done it.
And Mark Gubiza, he's celebrating a birthday on Monday.
Okay.
I told him on Sunday, like, hey, you know what? Have a beer on the flight. And like apparently as a daily, he's cool. Like I was stunned when the old Zusser,
yes,
Dan Hanzus, who, let's be honest, the Room Full of Heroes has a lot of great guys, and then there's the Zusser, who is like the Angels announced team is one of the. And I'm like, what the are you talking about? That makes absolutely no sense. My friend and I were lamenting just recently that our guys are so good that we'll probably eventually lose them. Because they both have Kansas City roots, and we don't want to see that happen. Although they live in Southern California now, I think they're very content with rooting for the Angels or broadcasting for them. They root for them.
Considering the current Kansas City Royals broadcast team is former Angels broadcast.
Bizziak
and Rick
Hudler. And Hudler.
Yeah,
I loved Hudler too. Don't get me wrong, but Gooby is far and away one of the best in the business. But anyways, I wanted to give a daily dap out to somebody who over the years has given me hours and hours of joy, and right now he is fighting for his life. And, of course, I'm talking about Ric Flair. He trended on Twitter a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
And everybody was like, oh, this sucks. What's going on? It was really an announcement for his upcoming ESPN 30 for 30,
yep.
And everybody was relieved. But unfortunately, on Monday morning, he was trending for the wrong reason. But he's still in intensive care, and his reps are asking everybody to pray for him and do everything like that. So hopefully this turns out for the best. But he's somebody whose talent that I've enjoyed for a long time. You know, he was one of the first guys who I was really drawn to because I always liked bad guys. Like Ric Flair was my
100%.
Favorite wrestler.
Loved heels.
Edge and Christian were my favorite tag team. You know, so I really was drawn to the guys who bent the rules a little bit. So I'm hoping he recovers. And everybody who follows me on Twitter knows that for the last couple of years,
years,
I have been putting out Ric Flair GIFs.
You have.
GIFs or whatever.
Yes.
Anytime the Angels win, and it's kind of our thing, and Mark Gubiza and I were actually a part of that. And now the idiot Astro fans are trying to appropriate that.
Uh-oh.
And some guy even this week, it was like, stop using Ric Flair gifts. And I'm like, dude, bro, like, you're way late to the party. I know you're finally good after 65 years of doing nothing, but don't come after me. But
oh, wow.
And anyways, this is about Ric Flair.
They were in the World Series more recently than the Angels.
Did they win it?
They were.
They did not. And so we wish a speedy recovery. If the Four Horsemen can somehow do a run-in and once again get him that victory, we would call on that for right now. But hopefully he does well, and we have good news.
I mean, who hasn't mule kicked somebody in their lifetime, you know?
I mean, a lot of people deserve it.
Right,
they
exactly.
They really do.
You know what I mean?
Listen, am I going to be walking around with brass knuckles in my underpants? Of course. Who doesn't?
Every now and
again.
Especially
if I was going to the K-Town Throwdown, I would have had the brass knucks
exactly.
ready to go.
Well, when you were going down that elevator and you know, everyone thought they were going to get chopped up by James Gale.
I would not have.
You would have just reached
in
there.
I would have jumped out of the elevator at that point. Like, whoa. First go down.
I mean, who hasn't knife hand chopped somebody? You know what I mean?
Who doesn't?
Woo.
Some people need that.
Woo.
Some people need
that. They really
need it. In their lives.
So pull through, Rick. We need you.
Yeah, man. One of my absolute favorite pro wrestlers of all time. No question about it. Top five wrestler of all time?
Easily.
Rank was.
If
was,
not the GOAT.
If not the GOAT.
That the end of the list?
That's the end of the list.
I just wanted to focus on Ric Flair.
Just wanted to make sure.
I like it. All right, for the WizKid from Wisconsin, you going on vacation?
Next week.
All right. We got the franchise. We got MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. We got Adam Rank. I'm James Coe. We'll see you.
Also, anyone arguing that Thomas Rawls was bad last year can take a hike.